The IAB Australia podcast, digital advertising leaders and the issues that matter.
How do we make it simple?
Try to stop a lot of the buzzwords.
A chance to change the way a whole industry works.
For more information, visit iabaustralia.com.au.
Welcome to the IAB Australia podcast. I'm Gay Leroy, CEO of the IAB in Australia. Today we're talking about a little bit of a different topic. It's not ad tech or privacy or programmatic, but we're looking at some newish research that's come out around mental health for women. And it's been driven by both Nielsen as a research partner, but importantly, Lip Temba Foundation, which is a charity that looks into women's well-being. So we will discuss both the research, what that means for our industry, what it means from communications, and what it means for Lip Temba in terms of building their brand awareness in market as well. So joining me today, I've got two wonderful ladies. I've got Shruti Babu, who's the Director of Media Analytics and Consumer Research at Nielsen. Welcome, Shruti.
Thanks, Ki. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. And Katrina Lacandro, who's the Marketing and Communications Manager for Lip Temba Foundation. Welcome, Katrina.
Thanks for having me as well. Really excited to get through this.
Fantastic. Now, before we get into a very important topic that we've got to discuss today, we like to get to know the people in our industry, what made them join the industry, why they stay, if it was a purposeful journey or a delightful sort of accident. So, Shruti, I might start with you. How did you find yourself in the world of research?
Yeah, I have been in the field of research for almost 16 years, and my interest for research started when I was doing my master's, where I did an internship working on a research project for an FMCG brand. So in research, whether it's market research or media research, it is all about understanding your client's requirement, finding answers to their business questions, and giving the direction and the recommendation on the next steps that will help them build their marketing strategy. So it's quite exciting and interesting, isn't it? So I would say that that's a key factor that actually, that drives me to be in the field of research. And currently I work with Nielsen, who's a global leader in audience measurement, data and analytics, where I'm leading a team of researchers who works on qualitative and quantitative research projects for advertisers, agencies and publishers.
And what about you, Katrina? How did you, you know, has marketing always been your dream?
Well, I don't think anyone grows up saying, "Yay, marketing." but I think it was one of those things that back in high school, you know, you always think about, "Oh, okay, well, where am I going to go now? What do I want to move into as a career?" And I always felt I was really strong with relationships, and how people were connected, how people naturally connected to things and brands and people around them. So at that time, I felt I was pretty intuitive with that kind of stuff. So I felt it was a really natural fit to explore that further at uni. And then to be honest, it just kind of solidified my choice. I was like, oh, I love this. But back when I did uni, it was a very, you know, traditional, the traditional role that marketing played in society, and marketing and advertising alert wasn't about selling something. It was about building a connection with people. And digital marketing and media was around, but it definitely wasn't a large focus like it is today. So I think throughout my career, I've learned most of what I know in the digital marketing realm by doing, doing, tinkering, learning myself and absorbing myself into tasks and learning from other people. So I think, you know, I love deep diving into what drives people, like what makes them tick. And so by having exposure to data and being able to analyze trends and being in that digital space over the last 10 years of my career, it's kind of enticed me further to get into brand management and strategy. And it's ultimately really shaped, I guess, where my career is today. So I worked client side, I worked agency side. So in the past 10 years, I've been a bit of a mixed bag in marketing and comms. But now I work for the Lip Temba Foundation, and I get to build an amazing brand portfolio in the nonprofit sector. And that allows me to highlight the important work that we do as a foundation, but also solidifying us as the trusted source and respected leader when it comes to women's mental health. So if you don't know much about the Litember Foundation, we now undertake gender-specific research into women's mental health, and we use that research to identify areas of need and direct funding to the most critical women's mental health programs. We raised over $13.5 million since our inception, so we'd like to think we're doing pretty well.
Congratulations, yeah.
Thank you. But I think, yeah, generally I get to connect with people every day on a human level, but also understand from a data level there's a lot of reasons that people, you know, come into our community. And I think as a marketer, it's my responsibility to grow that community of people in the most authentic way possible. And, yeah, data helps me do that.
That's fantastic. I've always found any marketer that's worked in the not-for-profit or, you know, space has amazing skills, because you have to be so inventive and lean, and just the fundraising element is a constant reinvention. So
absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a look at the research that you've undertaken recently, and then we sort of drill into how that can be used in market. And Shruti, do you want to give us a little bit of background on the research project, how it was designed, what the objective of it was?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, Nielsen is proud to have worked with a team at Litember to deliver this important piece of research, which defines the state of women's mental health and outlines the key contributing factors. So it's a very comprehensive, first of its kind insights report from Nielsen, specific to Australian women and their mental health. We surveyed 4,000 women aged 14 years and above to understand the triggers for mental health, the sources for help, and the reasons why many women are in seeking support. When we look at the key findings, to start with, the most alarming one is that 1 in 2 Australian women are currently experiencing mental illness. To understand how concerning that is, 23% of these women are dealing with severe form of disorder. So not mild or moderate, it's a severe form of disorder. The research highlighted the different biological, socioeconomic, political, and cultural factors associated with being female, and how these factors contribute to the prevalence of mental illness among those who identify as women. We also uncovered a wide range of issues specific to different life stages and minority groups. For example, the research uncovered that 23% of pregnant women are currently suffering perinatal depression and anxiety. Taboo health topics are another contributing factor to mental health issues for women. For example, more than 1 in 3 women who suffer from endometriosis are likely to have a severe mental disorder and are also unlikely to feel comfortable talking about it. The sad part is that 52% of women who are facing mental health issues, they are not seeking any help at all. And across all demographics and life stages, there are clear barriers to seeking help. And some of the reasons include not realizing the importance of having the issues addressed, not having the time, the associated cost, and feeling the shame or stigma of having a mental health disorder. So as I said, Nielsen is proud to be part of this research with the Litember team, because it supports important conversations to happen, and it can help underpin future funding decisions and steer the focus towards specific areas that will improve women's mental health.
Thank you for that. Mental health is such a nuanced and broad and tricky topic. Yeah. So having research that can help pull apart some of those factors is so important.
That's right.
Yeah. And I guess, Katrina, now, how will you use this data, or how are you already using this data in market to help make decisions?
Yeah, so I guess it was really important for us to undertake this research. I might just take a step back to the why we engaged Nielsen to help us with this, just so I can explain then how we're going to use it. You know, because really there was no up-to-date gender-specific research out there that was focusing on the mental health of Australian women. So the only thing that was out there was the fact that it was really broad-brushed, mental health, skimming the surface kind of data, even the ABS, they only had really limited insights. And it was, you know, a bunch of random research projects from around the world that we could try and pin together to see, okay, well, how are women faring? And we didn't know. And there was nothing around that. So for us, from a communications perspective, but also from a, you know, explaining to our community the why, we needed the data and the stats to back it. Because we're like, well, we know that there's an issue because we're hearing it from our community, but we have no stats to really back that up. And even the ABS, and no one else can help us. So we knew that there was you were 58% more likely to experience mental illness if you were a woman in Australia, but that was it. So we go, right, this is strange. 50% of the population are female.
Yeah.
We're a women's mental health organization. We need to make this change. So so we decided that no woman was going to get left behind. So we teamed up with Nielsen to produce this study. And we're super proud of it. So to go kind of back to your question a little bit around I guess what we're going to do about this is that it's really critical for people to understand and for us to explain to people the real and, you know, previously unknown urgency around gender-specific healthcare, mental health care, because as Shruthi said, the rates of mental illness in women at the moment is alarming, like 1 in 2 Australian women. That is a lot. And then 1 in 4 having severe mental illness. Like, putting that into numbers scares me a little bit.
It's an overwhelming job you've got. And the one point that I found really interesting there from Shruthi was that we presume, or there's the stereotype, that men don't seek help, but yeah, women are better at seeking help. But this is obviously showing that we've also, maybe some of them are more pragmatic, you know, the time factor must be a huge one.
Absolutely. Well, like, I mean, our research will show that, you know, women are more likely to seek help, you know, even though there's still 52% that aren't, you know, the 48% that are seeking help, like, they are going to their GPs or they are seeking help, but they're not then getting the required help that they need. So taking that first step is one thing, but then actually trying to help solve women's issues is another, because women don't have the time. They are the bearer of a lot of things, the mental load being one of them, caregiving responsibilities, working. There is a lot of roles that women play in our society, and I think with the large portion of those having 2 full-time jobs, one being in the workplace and one in the home, it just highlights how important this research is to understand, so that organisations, media, ourselves as the charity that brings this to light, that we understand what women are going through.
Yeah, great. And it's so surprising that research wasn't already there. I just would have presumed, you know, you do see a lot of mental health stats, but that you haven't got that breakdown.
Yeah, there. I mean, like, because mental health, it almost is topical now because of COVID. Like, everyone, that was probably the silver lining of COVID, is that people were like, oh, we've got to look after our mental health. And it kind of brought mental health as a topic to the forefront of people's minds, in media, all of those things. But it just really skimmed the surface and didn't really delve deeper into the triggers and things like that actually are different when you look at it from a gendered lens.
And I think it's an important conversation in the corporate world as well, because there is a lot of discussion around mental health and the fact that the pointing out of the severity, you know, what we can't solve with yoga in the office, what can't be, you know, it's a bigger issue than just, you know, your cupcake day, that we need to you know, really ensure that there's the adequate and professional support for people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think organizations can learn a lot from this research if they delve into it and try and understand what those triggers are, so that they can remove those triggers within their workplaces. But you know, I think that from the foundation, the Liptember Foundation's point of view, these insights that we've gained, they directly shape our knowledge of the community in which we serve, because ultimately they're majority female and gender diverse people with lived experience in mental illness. So understanding their triggers and issues with seeking support are all beneficial in how we play a role in easing those burdens through funding, but also the way we communicate with people. So from a communications and marketing perspective, we basically are aiming to use these stats to highlight a few things. So one, the need for funding in the women's mental health space and treating it differently, and the need for tailored support services, because like Shruthi said, there's a lot of factors that are inherently female factors like pregnancy, birth, miscarriage, endometriosis that impact women differently. So we need to make sure that we can tailor mental health initiatives to the women who are suffering from those conditions. And thirdly, we need to continue investing in this research because it will pave the way for the female-centric methodologies that are required when developing new approaches to mental illness prevention, diagnosis, treatment, and other support services.
Fantastic. I'd throw menopause in the mix there too.
Exactly. Yep, throw that one in.
Something
there
we don't talk about, right? All the,
it's one of those things. We've got the mixed bag. I feel like women, we get it all.
Tell me, the one thing we haven't covered when you were talking about the foundation is the name, and I guess your sort of primary way of, or one of your ways of fundraising. How's the name link into the foundation?
Yeah, look, it's a long story that I'll try and keep to a couple of sentences. But basically, the Liptember Foundation was founded back in 2010, and it started as a really fun fundraising initiative in September. And it's literally the play on words, lip and September mixed together, Liptember. And it was back in 2010, pretty new and out there. And it was just a way for women to get involved, pop some bright lipstick on and start conversations and raise awareness for mental health and illness. But since that day, we've come a really long way in the 12 years that we've been operating. And now we basically do things year round. So that's our flagship fundraiser in September, but we kept the name because we love our roots. We love where we've come from.
Yeah.
And we won't shy away from it, but that's the really short story as to where the name came
that's
from.
That's fantastic, particularly building a brand, I guess, in a space that has, you know, a lot of competition's probably the wrong word, but, you know.
A lot of noise.
It would have had a nice cut-through element.
Yeah. So, look, I can't claim the fame of that one. Back in 2010, that was Luke's baby. Luke, who is our CEO, he came up with the name. Since I've come on board, we've definitely come leaps and bounds with trying to, I guess, integrate our brand awareness and brand positioning as, I guess, that market leader when it comes to women's mental health in the nonprofit space.
So talking of your, I guess, your marketing opportunities and challenges, and Shruthi, feel free to jump in here because I'm sure you do a lot of research for a lot of different brands that are, you know, constantly trying to get a high share of voice in whatever their field is.
Yeah.
But Katrina, starting with you, I guess we'll get to tips, but, you know, the successes, the challenges for you, what have been, since you've joined Liptember, the biggest wins and the biggest challenges?
Yeah, of course. I think in the nonprofit space, you put it pretty pretty eloquently there that, you know, there are a lot of challenges when you're working in marketing in nonprofit land. Your budgets are small. You've got to try and make the biggest impact you can on a shoestring. And I actually love that challenge. But not just that, there's millions of charities out there doing a lot of great work. And so really, brand awareness in this space is one of our biggest challenges, but it's also one of our biggest opportunities. So that for me is basically our main goal, is to make sure that we can get, you know, our brand, the Liptember Foundation, out there to as many people as possible. I think, you know, our CEO, he uses this analogy of snakes and ladders, and I feel like it's pretty fitting to use this here too, because you can make massive gains in awareness, brand sentiment, community building. So you climb that ladder, but then you slide down a snake because you're hit with external factors like COVID, the rising cost of living. So all those, all that hard work you've done in fundraising just becomes so much harder because all the people who you've built into your community are also struggling on the fundraising point of view. So you just have to try and pivot, adapt, and, you know, come up with new ways to really help that community build.
Yeah, and we're going to go through, I mean, you know, I feel like we're jinxing ourselves every time we talk about economic headwinds.
Yeah, let's not.
But I get, from a, I guess, you know, a very practical point of view, you know, seeing this is a digital advertising type podcast,
yes.
Have you sort of, are you mainly leaning on digital channels or what's?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a charity and you're not leaning on digital channels, and you know, you'd be pretty silly. But I think for us, digital, and I guess the opportunities that it has given us and the reach that it has given us, is, you know, it can't be understated. And I think a lot of people are online these days. You know, doing fundraising online is more and more important because you can't have in-person events, those types of things. So, you know, digital marketing for us is one of the core, I guess, the core channels that we use. And I think with a really good mix of like traditional media as well, we're able to try and reach as many people as possible. But mass brand awareness isn't going to come overnight. And, you know, raising $10 million in a month isn't going to come overnight. It takes years to build that. And I feel like, you know, it is definitely an opportunity for us to use digital. And we have really broken through this year, especially by doing our Real Talk series, which is something I'm really proud about, actually. We got a group of women who participate, who are part of our community, who are advocates for mental health and women's mental health, and they so bravely shared their stories, putting a big emphasis on, you know, what happened to them, their authentic, real selves, and they were vulnerable. And to be honest, that's how we rid the stigma, because that's also a really big part of our role, is the awareness raising, not just about raising money, but getting rid of that stigma in society. And how do we do that through digital? Well, it's about being open, being vulnerable. So we featured those real women in our community, and basically it just allowed the rest of the people in our community to feel like they were connected. There was a safe place. They were invested in the work that we were doing. So the impact that these videos have made cannot be underestimated. I guess just knowing that you're not the only one going through things can have a really powerful effect. And that digital storytelling part of it, I think, is really strong, especially when you don't have a lot at your disposal. It can be a really core element to your marketing mix.
There's also, it brings, you know, particularly in the digital fundraising space, like that trust element of knowing the brand, knowing who it is, and having those voices add to it would be really important for people to feel, I guess, safe to give money in that sense.
And Trudy, yeah, exactly.
That trust element, I guess you would do a lot of research for a lot of brands, and they're even though Katrina's working on a, you know, very pointy, poignant sort of topic, it'd be very similar for whether an FMCG brand or a charity in that share of voice and trust elements.
Yeah, that's right. Because as we were discussing before, like, you know, because the key challenge is basically raising that awareness. Because even in this topic itself, like, you know, what we have seen is raising that awareness. Because as women, what we think is that, you know, most of the things are quite normal. That's what we think. And that is why one of the key barriers that was mentioned out of the research was that they're not realizing how important that is to be addressed. So raising that awareness is the key challenge. And most of the things that we have seen across is the same thing. Like, you know, creating that awareness is a key challenge.
Yeah, fantastic. And Katrina, I don't know if you can share any of your plans or what sort of the big impact you're hoping to have in the next sort of 6 to 12 months, but is there something you're particularly excited about where you're investing or directing your money?
I can't share that just yet. But you know, we we have grant funding opportunities, and we invite organisations to apply for funding if they can meet a bunch of criteria that are really based around making the largest impact in the women's mental health space. So that won't be decided until early next year. For us, it's really about how do we be smarter with our resources. And I'm really looking forward to getting to know our Lipchamber community further through the digital marketing landscape. It's shifting so rapidly. We're already learning all new things that are just coming out this year, and there's new platforms to discover, new ways to reach new people. So it's an incredibly exciting time because it's forever changing. So I think as a digital marketer, it's very exciting because you can try and be first to market with a lot of things and a lot of strategies and really see and test the waters without too much there's not too many negatives. Like if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And I think that's the beauty of digital. And especially for a charity, it makes so much sense to give things a go and not have a huge outlay of cost to be able to execute things.
Fantastic. And for our listeners, many of you may have been at the AdOps event we held in Melbourne recently and shared some of the research that came out of our industry charity and industry foundation called Unlimited, which runs a mentally healthy survey for our industry each year. So there's some interesting stats there we can share with the audience as well. But it's definitely getting a lot more airtime, really smart thinking, and ways of actually addressing it. So it's really exciting to see all the work across different charities, different research, different medical and researchers across the board. So
There's a lot of synergies with that research and ours. I think the key difference obviously being ours is female focused and not industry specific, but I think some of the outcomes are the same and what organizations need to do. And really it's outlining the need for more flexible workplace arrangements, for mental health leave options. And I think leaders are now realizing that there's a need to open up lines of communication in their workplaces. They need to break down these barriers, and destigmatize mental illness. But I think there's still a lot of work to be done in that space. And I think brands as well are doing a really good job in, speaking up about certain topics and starting to be aware about, I guess, even the need for content trigger warnings and things like that when they're talking about mental health issues, but then not being scared to do that. Because I think that can also put brands off. They're like, oh, do we want to tiptoe in that space? I don't know. Is it a bit hard to manage? So I think more brands need to be doing it. More businesses need to be doing it. We need to be making it the norm.
I agree. There's some interesting conversations around that purpose-driven marketing from brands, and there's some very loud men who sort of do question the economic sense of that. So it'll be interesting to see that play out. From a Shruti, you'll need to do some research to work out if that's a positive or negative from brands in the future. But I agree. So the brands are getting better, and the inclusive nature of what's showing us on screen, even if it's not a direct mental health thing, it indirectly helps a whole lot of people see themselves in different places. Thank you both so much for joining us today. It's really important work, and I'm really thrilled that we could share it with our audience today.
Thank you so much for having us.
The IAB Australia podcast, digital advertising leaders and the issues that matter. For more information, visit iabaustralia.com.au.